never run dry. Wow, I'm so glad God is just endless, a flowing river of life. Hallelujah. Woo, 2020. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad I made it, that's for sure. You know, 2020, God intended you to be here for 2020. Such an incredible year of vision for your life and vision for the church, for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of heaven. And all kinds of distractions are there for you to lose hope. All kinds of distractions. But God's got something big for 2020, I'm telling you. When you think of 2020, all right, what do you think of? What do you think of? Go ahead, Ken.
Eyesight.
Perfect vision. Perfect vision. 2020, you think of perfect vision. Actually, the word 20 in the Bible means complete. That's what it means. Completeness. Wholeness. 20. That's what it means. 20. This is that year. I am so glad I made it. You know, I'm a 1964 graduate of Brush High School. And they keep sending out monthly bulletins of who died. Honest, every month, you know, I get this, well, so-and-so, we regret to say that so-and-so passed away. You know, they didn't make it. They didn't make it to 2020. My oldest friend, you know, I did his funeral. You never think you're going to do your oldest friend in life's funeral, but I wound up doing it, you know, this last year, a couple months ago, and all the things that we experienced together, you know, the first time I ever got drunk. I'm not bragging, all right? You know, I regret it. I regret the first beer I ever picked up, you know. The first time I ever went to the Kentucky Derby, the first time I went out to Chicago, the first time I went to Mardi Gras, we partied. That was this friend of mine. And the first time I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show was in his house. Wow. I mean, you know, remember that night? Anybody remember that night? Oh, I mean, that's the kind of history. But he didn't make it. He didn't make it. But we're here. We're here for to have perfect vision in this hour. I want you to turn your Bibles. You know, Sandy calls this behold. And behold means to be and get a hold of. And that is elusive in this hour. To be in Christ, to be in faith, to be in love, and hold on to it. Behold, get a hold of this. We need to get a hold of this. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, this is my favorite scripture. When I was at the house of prayer, I was at the house of prayer for 10 years, and I prayed it every day. Can you imagine that? I love this prayer. It's incredible. It's Paul's prayer. And he's praying for vision. He's praying for completeness. He's praying for completeness, and it means completeness to have a perfect period of waiting. How many are waiting for something? Something. I'm telling you, I'm an expectation. You have two kind of people come to church. People that don't expect anything to happen, and people who stand in expectation. Anything can happen. You know, some people, if you went home and just read the word, did two songs, read the word, they'd be happy. Oh, that's it, you know. I mean, that's it. I'm an expectation, which only God can do. You know, it's not going to happen because I do it. It's because God's going to do it. The Spirit, I felt the Spirit this morning just kind of descend on us like we are open. Every breath I take, that means something to me these days. You know, it's something, means something more to me today than it's ever meant. Every breath I take, when he breathes on us, the ruach of God, the breath of God in our lungs. Whew, oh my gosh, it makes you want to dance. It makes you want to sing. It makes you just want to praise God. And this is where we're at. It means perfect redemption and perfect balance. 2020 means perfect balance. And I think the balance we want to see is the spiritual and the natural. You know, I'm not denying the natural. okay? There's a lot of things that we're looking at. A lot of things we're observing. A lot of things are changing, especially for us old folks, okay? And it's hard for me to adjust. Sometimes I just don't get it. Things aren't like they used to be. You know, I mean, they just aren't like they used to be. I thought everybody wanted to go to church. Obviously, not everybody does want to go to church on Sunday morning. I want to go, you know. But they used to even close stores on Sunday morning. I remember that. But I mean, it's all changing. But we have to keep focused. We have to keep focused in the spiritual amidst all these distractions so we can have perfect vision. Here he prays, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I am so grateful for you, all of you. As I look around, all the people who prayed for me, all the people that held me up, all the people who, when I was in my trials, supported me. Everyone. Did you guys ever pray for me? Did you guys ever pray for me? Yeah, exactly. Thank you for your prayers. Little prayers mean as much as big prayers, you know. God's no respecter of person. He likes young people's prayers. I think he likes kids' prayers even more, you know. But I am so thankful, and that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I am so grateful for you, and I want to pray for you. And I'm going to give you three examples that a spiritual leader, okay, because, you know, I'm a spiritual leader. Doug's a spiritual leader. That he can open your eyes and your spiritual understanding. Three examples. But one of them, even this morning, what is Doug leading in worship that you are into a different way of seeing? Seeing in the Spirit. The whole team is working with these songs to say, see in the Spirit. See this in the Spirit. You know, we live in a myopic generation. There's a lot of people who can't see far ahead. And they say a lot of it's due to technology. Gazing at screens all the time, whether it be phones or whether it be, computer screens, big TV screens. You know, I know people have 65-inch TVs, you know. I mean, that's a big screen. You want that on game day, I'm telling you what. So, I mean, and people come myopic, okay, which means they can't see far out there. And I have a vision. This church has a vision. But somehow we're going to have to see in the Spirit. And what does Paul pray? He says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Whew, he's even hinting right there, there's a glory realm to look into, okay? There's a glory realm. There's something beyond this natural realm, beyond TV, beyond phones, beyond, you know, what we see in the natural. We can see in a whole different realm. I love it. I was created for it. Oh, sometimes, you know, I just have to close my eyes on them there. Smile at God, know he's smiling at me. Even in the midst of all the trials and troubles, Paul knows it. He was arrested. He was stoned, wasn't he? You know, they stoned him. They whipped him. They did everything to him, but he was smiling in the Spirit. Smiling in the Spirit. He knew there was more. But this there was a weight of glory all around him. You can feel the weight of glory. And we try to create it here for you, that weight of glory where all believers are together and they're raising their hands and worshiping, and we experience that realm, that other realm. And he says, the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So wisdom and revelation, perfect balance. Wisdom and revelation. See, you know, we're pretty smart. We got a lot of information, but we need revelation. I mean, we got all the information. And without a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you're never going to go to another level. Now, this Friday, we're going to have a worship event, and we're going in. That's what we said. We're going in, folks, okay? No hold bars, no, nothing's going to stop us. We're going in. For me, worship was over too soon this morning, okay? We're already there at that last song. Oh, my gosh, I thought there was one more. There is one more. We're going to do it at the end. But, I mean, I love it. I love that place. I love getting in that place where I can sense the presence of God and the power of God just coming over me and healing me. I need it. I need it every week, the healing power and presence of God to breathe it in. Whew. I'm telling you, it's a miracle I'm here this morning. You know, but I feel everything in hell comes against me from getting here. I'm telling you, I felt so bad at times this week. I said, who's going to do this? Okay, Sandy's gone and Ron's gone. And, you know, I guess I'm going to have to call Ken. You know, we better be ready, Ken. I'm telling you. Rhonda, I know she's ready. She's ready. There's people who are ready. But, you know, you start, this is my responsibility. I got to do this. Oh, my goodness. But I saw in the Spirit. I kept seeing in the Spirit. So, and that's what Paul says. No matter what comes against me, he says, I'm going in. It says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. See, he's talking about your spiritual eyes. You have spiritual eyes. You have spiritual eyes. And that's very important, to see in the Spirit. You know, when some people see problems, we can see possibilities. Write that down. You know, when some people or most people are seeing problems, we see possibilities. All things are possible to those that love God, right? All things are possible. You know, you have to see in a whole different dimension when the checkbook says there's nothing in there. You have to see in the Spirit. How many ever did that? I mean, I've done it. Oh, that money thing again. We're short again. How did that happen? But it happens, but we have to see in the Spirit that God makes provision. God can make provision. See, we shift into that realm of faith rather than fear. That's what we have to shift into. See in the Spirit. See with your heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of heart. When we lose a loved one, we have to see in the Spirit. You've heard it said, they're in a better place. Do you believe that? See, that is tried. That's going to be tried in everyone's life. That we can see in the Spirit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're only going through, out to the other side. Oh my goodness. See, we all are challenged to see in the Spirit. When you're given a diagnosis, you have to see in the Spirit. You have to begin to see in the Spirit, you know, and believe God and act in faith. It's so important for you to begin to see in faith, hope, and love in this hour. To exercise your faith toward healing for those, for yourself and those around you. I mean, I can't believe the fear that they're spreading with this disease. You know, what do they say? 1,200 people or how many people? Anybody listen to the news, you know, got sick? How many? 1,200. Okay. There's a billion people there. What's the percentage? I mean, it's nothing, you know, I mean, we got to take things serious, but come on, what's the percentage? I mean, how many more people are dying in automobile accidents? You know, let's really see what's going on here before we get into the fear factor, which they're always pushing the fear factor. The fear factor is always right there, the percentages. You know, it's not always great percentages, but we have to see with the eyes of our heart. The perfect balance of wisdom and revelation. Oh, give me wisdom and revelation. Now, he's praying this for his people because they're going through a tough time. They're living under Roman rule. They're being persecuted by the Jews. And he knows they're going through a hard time. He says, you got to see the end from the beginning. You have to see how God sees. You have to see that this weight of glory. You have to begin to look. I mean, how many have lived that way this past year, you know? How many have lived in the Spirit? And always those distractions coming against you to drop your faith and to give up and just quit. It says the eyes of your understanding. We're talking about the eyes of your heart. You know, the eyes of your spiritual understanding. This is a pastoral prophetic prayer. And I'm called to give it. I can pray for people, just like Paul prayed for, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. I mean, three times in the Bible, and I'll show you, where leaders pray for that, and one of them is Jesus. And it says right here, it says, that the eyes of your understanding may be like that you may know. You know what that word know means? Ongoing knowing. That you don't know it all yet. How many love to know it all? Phew! I just love a know-it-all. You know what I mean? Not really. Not really. Ongoing knowing. We're talking in the spirit, folks. This is huge. This is vast. This is beyond what we can even ask or think. Ongoing knowing. What is the hope of his calling? And what are the riches of this glorious atmosphere? It's beyond. It's out there beyond what we can even imagine. And that's when we looked. I mean, we try to put it into words and revelations of the new heaven and the new earth, don't we? We try to put it into words. I saw the sea of glass. You know, I saw the heavenly realm. We call it the glory realm. I saw Jesus high and lifted up. And, you know, I saw this, and we try to put it into words, but we're hardly describing it, and we're not going to be disappointed when we get there, because it's going to be greater than we can even imagine, because nobody's going to be disappointed. Oh, keep that in your minds. Keep that in your hearts and your minds. That's the prayer. That's the prayer. I mean, you know, I could pray that you just choose the right candidate. You know, I mean, I could pray that, but that's not my position to pray that. I can't control what you see or hear. I can only pray that you'll see in the spirit. That's a pastoral prophetic prayer. The rest is none of my business. None of my business. That's what I can't control. You know, years ago in the Catholic Church, they used to have the Legion of Decency. You remember that, Johnny? No, that was before your time. And every year they used to have, and the bishop used to send out this thing, that I promise I won't watch any bad movies. Okay? And then they listed all the bad movies that they, you know, and you stood up there and lied before God and everybody that you weren't going to go see them, you know. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Oh, I can't control. Nobody can control what you see. You know, I'd be lying if I could shame you into it. You know, don't be watching that, Jack. You know what I mean? Woo. But I can't pray that you open your spiritual understanding. Oh, God, I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see a revelation of Jesus Christ. I want that revelation to overtake everything else that they look at. Oh, I want to see into the beauty realm. Oh, I saw the Lord. I saw the, hey, oh my goodness. See, we call that beholding, gazing. You become what you behold. If you're beholding fear all the time, that's the point that Sandy's, every day she puts out this scripture for us to say, doesn't she? It amazes me the work that goes into something like that. You know, to write out that scripture, put it in Facebook and say, I want you to quote this. Why? Because you become what you behold. You become what you behold. And what you say, that's called faith. That's speaking faith. And we're in this time of beholding. So we pray that you continue to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. How many believers do we have here this morning? I'm a believer. He made a believer out of me. I was not always a believer, but he made a believer out of me by a series of supernatural things that happened in my life. Super amazing. He made this believer out of me that nothing will ever change my mind. And I'm telling you, I have doubted. How many else? Anybody else ever doubted? Yep, there's one, there's two, there's a few. I mean, circumstances can cause you to doubt, and then you need to shift into the spirit realm. Even my oncologist says you have a great chance because of your faith, because of your family. Not everybody has those things. We take it for granted to have this spiritual family that sees in the spirit for me, you know? I mean, if I say, well, I can get the results of my CAT scan, they go, you're going to be all right. I go, easy for you to say. But they never have a negative word for me. Always believing for me. Always there for me. What a community. I give thanks for you. Thank you, Betty. Oh, she's right there. We have this group called SOS on Tuesday night. Come on out. Oh, my gosh, we talk about all our problems. You know, it's not a Bible study at all. I mean, you know, we just sit there and, you know, vent. You know, and it's about work. How many people are going through stuff at work? You'd be surprised. I'm telling you what. We talk about work, how we should handle it, and then we pray. You know, trying to give good support for those that are giving through stuff. I'm telling you, you need help. If you've been divorced, you've been, you know, had a sickness, if you've been all these things. I mean, it's a struggle out there. It's really a struggle out there. And people need help and people need support. And I thank God for it. I'm going to need it this Tuesday. I get the results of my CAT scan on Tuesday morning. You know what I mean? I said, God, give me the grace to take the results, whatever it is. You know, give me that grace. And then, you know, we need it together. According to the working of his mighty power, God is for us. God is working in us. We don't always see that. Are you sure you love me, God? Are you sure you're listening to me? You know what I mean? Are you listening to me? Woo! Oh, and then incrementally, I see the outpouring of his love and his healing. Incrementally, I see it. You know, it's not always just like that. Kids, when you pray, it's not always just like that, you know? You know, it's just like getting an A. You got to put a little work in it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But God's right there. The Holy Spirit's right there to give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You got the Holy Spirit to help you through this whole thing. You know, and he says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Resurrection power. We prayed about it this morning, about the blood. Oh, that was an anointed time. What was the name of that song? Whew, you forgot already, Doug. That was such a good song. Oh, my gosh. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Where else can you go and get a song like that? You know what I mean? I mean, I was in a bar the other day, and I didn't even hear that one. Not once. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it says, when he raised him to the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. That's what we have to behold. That's what we have to get a hold of. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. When all the distraction comes and all the worldly things try to pull us down to this negativity level, we have to say, no, I'm high above. Principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. Everything. I was reading the other day that it said the principalities and powers at that time with the government. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It wasn't just a spiritual thing, it was a natural thing too. Because the government was oppressing them and struggling. You know, we want to spiritualize that and say it's devils. No, it can be the government and crooked politicians. I mean, they come against you, they frustrate you. You're above that. You can be above that. You can rise above that. If you see in the spirit, if you have 20/20 vision, balanced vision, the natural and the spiritual together. You're created for it. You were born again to have it. Oh, my goodness, it's wonderful. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Whew. What are some of the names? Divorcee, cancer, broke. What are some of the names? You know, loser, whatever. You know, I mean, all these names that people try to label you with, that are trying to pull you down. Even Christian today can be a name. you know, that people try to label you with. I it's hard for me to say I'm a Christian because they think they know what I'm all about. And I'm not about that at all. I am not about that at all. Wow. And he has put all things, say all things. All things. Oh, I need this so bad. I'm preaching to myself. All things under his feet and given him to be head of all things to the what? The church. Whew. 2020 vision. 2020 vision in this hour. This is such a wonderful, wonderful time to have a fresh vision for your life. Your life. You made it. You guys made it. Hallelujah. Wow, and it wasn't easy. But you're here, and you know who got you here. Some people don't even know who got them through. You know? But we know who got us through. I know who got me through. And it's a blessing. Oh, my goodness. Wholeness. Wholeness. So, you know, when we see in the Spirit, it's seeing from a different source. You know? It's seeing from a different source. Like, you know, when I get a CAT scan and I can go get my records, they have it all written out. You ever try to read that? Woo-hoo. You might have a better time than I. But that can't be my source. I don't even understand it. And I don't even know what a millimeter is. You know what I mean? You know, well, that is, you know, so many millimeters. I'm like, well, give me an inches, okay? You know, well, it's not even an inch. It's smaller than that, you know. It's smaller. I mean, we have to look from a different source. When we get a death sentence, when we get a whatever, when we don't have the money that we need, we have to see from a different source. Different source, from a heavenly source, from a whole different realm. That's what we need to see. Oh, I love your glasses. See, they help you see, don't they? Those are your spiritual glasses. Woo! Bless her. Thank you. Wow. Did anybody ever kid you about wearing glasses? No, that's good because they're cool today, aren't they? Glasses all of a sudden are cool. You know, when we were in school, they called us names if we had glasses, but all of a sudden they're very cool. All right, we're going to look on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come and prepare us for communion. Here's another example, folks, of a spiritual leader. This is my spiritual leader. You know, I'm a Jesus follower. If you have trouble with a Christian label, just say, I'm a Jesus follower. You know, I follow Jesus. That takes on a whole different connotation. People have a hard time with that a little bit. What do you mean? I can't label you right now. We haven't got a label for that as a Jesus follower. But we have the label for the Christian, you know. But for a Jesus follower, and here Jesus is going to pray for some of his followers. He's going to pray. And he says right there in Luke 24, you know the story. It's after his death and resurrection. He's walking with two guys on the road to a town called Emmaus. Remember the story? And it says, you can pass it out now. And he says, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart. Whew, man, that sums me up sometimes, you know. I can be so slow spiritually, you know. I mean, I just don't even see it. I miss opportunities like crazy, you know, to pray for people, to bless people, mostly in the marketplace. It's easy in church, you know, to see things and that. But when you get out there in the world, you know, you're in a hurry, you get distracted, and sometimes you just miss opportunities to see in the Spirit what is really going on with a person. What is happening with them? What is the false identity this person is carrying? That you could pray for them or that you could talk to them about. And he says, oh, slow of heart to believe in all, he says, in all that the prophets have spoken. So they got all the Jesus info, okay? They got all the information. They've read this stuff. It says, ought not the Christ have suffered these things and entered to his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So there you go. Monday night Bible study, you know, with Jesus. Oh my gosh. Bible study with Jesus. How about that? You know, you think you'd get it. Maybe you'd get it. And he says, and then they drew near to the village where they were going, and they indicated he would go no farther. Do you know that you cannot go any farther in the Spirit with just the information? If you could, this church, I mean, as Christians, we would be there. You know, you need revelation. You need revelation. I did not always have revelation of who Jesus Christ was. I was an altar boy. I was, you know, I was as close as I could get. And God saw in my heart that I wanted more, and he revealed himself to me. I know exactly where and when he revealed himself to me. I know exactly when. And I had, you know, I've been raised in a Christian school, Catholic school, had all the information, but I needed the revelation. And isn't that what Paul's praying? That you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There's more. There's more. Lord, give these boys the spirit of wisdom and revelation. They're wise. I know they're wise. I see them on Facebook. But they need revelation. They need revelation. We all need revelation. We need another source. We need something to come from another source other than CNN or Fox News or CNBC or CBS. We need another source. As followers of Christ, we need another source. We need revelation. And then they drew near to the village where they had indicated. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Oh, that longing of the heart to be with Jesus. Oh, that longing to know more. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. Intimacy with God brings revelation. Time spent with God brings revelation. Oh, not just Sunday morning, and Sunday morning is great. I'm telling you, so it is so great, and it works. It can bring revelation, but you need more time. Just like I need more time with my wife. Especially Ken said, yeah, my wife and I are dating. You know, we still have our date night. For us, Judy and I, because we had seven kids, we used to go to Drug Mart. Kids were running up to Drug Mart together, you know what I mean? And we'd go up there and we'd walk around, you know, big date night. We couldn't be gone far and we couldn't be gone long, all right? Or they'd be fighting and, you know, the whole thing. Oh, you know, speaking of kids, God has shown me to see, oh, we're supposed to take communion in a minute. Don't let me forget. God has shown me to look at my kids in the spirit. Not to look in the religious part. None of them want to go to church, okay? So weird. Be prepared for that, you guys. you know what I mean? But the attributes that they display where they're at are all that stuff we put into them. All that, the character is coming forth, the hospitality, the respect, all those things. And God's let me see that in the spirit, the wisdom. The revelation. I mean, he's let me see in the spirit my children in a whole different way than I've ever saw them before. And how he sees me. Exactly. You know, he loves your presence. We're always going for the presence. We're going in. I mean, he just loves your presence. Just like I love their presence when they come over. Just come on over. I mean, I light up. They're here. The kids are here, honey. You know? That's how God is with you. Ken's here, you know. Oh, intimacy with God. That's where it is. He just wants to be with you. Now, it came to pass as he sat at the table. We're going to take communion together. He sat at the table with them. He took the bread. Let's take the bread. This will bring revelation of what? His broken body. Simple thing, the bread. He took the bread and he blessed it. Let's take the bread together. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Let's take the cup. See, he's doing exactly what he did at the Last Supper. He's just repeating it and saying, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. You know, you can do it in your own home. Wow. That'd be fun. Bring that up to your parents. We want to do communion. We want to do communion. Oh, my. Let's take the cup together. The blood of Jesus for the healing of our body. And it says he took the bread, blessed it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Wow. He blessed them. His prayer was the same as Paul's. Open their eyes, Lord, that they can have a revelation of me in this hour. That all the distractions that are going on is not all that's going on. It's not all that's going on. And they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did our hearts not burn? Oh, he wants us to be people of burning hearts. Burning with love for Jesus. A revelation that he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. People of a burning heart. Oh, that he loves us. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows this. And he said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them, and they gathered together. Exactly what we're doing here this morning. We gather together out of a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, don't we? And it brings healing. It brings wholeness. Now I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, because we have a song we want to do together this morning. And it comes out of 2 Kings. See, their eyes of their spiritual understanding were opened. Were opened. People are so myopic. They're so short-sighted. They can't see. They can't see the hope that's in us, why we have so much hope, why we have so much love, why we have mercy, why we have grace. It only comes out of a revelation of what he has for us. Whew. It's so wonderful. Let's look over in 2 Kings, 2 Kings, verse 6. Here's another spiritual, prophetic, a prophetic man of God. If I can find 2 Kings, it's in here someplace. 2 Kings, there it is. 2 Kings, chapter 6. And here's the story. The king of Syria, okay, is pursuing the man of God. Anybody ever feel like that? Elisha. The enemy is pursuing the man of God, Elisha. And he's looking for him. And Elijah, he's in this city. And so he said, go and see where he is. This is the king saying this, that I may send and get him. And he was told to him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. That's the name of the city, Dothan. So Elisha's in Dothan, and the king of Syria is sending an army to go after him. Therefore he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Wow, this is a great story. So we have this big army. You guys know this is actually in your Bible. Okay, it's like a video game. You've seen it, you know, there's this surrounded. They're surrounded by a great army. It's in 2 Kings. You can read it when you get home. And it says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Woo! True story. True story. He is terrified. He is terrified. Whew. What did he say? "Do not fear." How many feel they're surrounded this morning by fear? There you go. There's an honest man. I thought, we don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. I don't even pretend to know what could happen. It changes so much on a daily basis. In the news media and the whole thing, I don't even pretend to know what's going to happen next. I have no idea. You can, at some point, feel surrounded by fear. Surrounded by fear, and the media seems to take great delight in generating it because it keeps you listening. But what does the man of God say? Do not fear. That's what the man of God says. That's what this man of God is saying to you this morning. Do not fear. Do not fear. For those who are with this are more than are with them. You can go ahead, guys, and start the song. Those who are with us, those who are with us are more than with them. And Elijah prayed, and the Lord says, "I pray that you may open his eyes and see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, get a hold of this, folks, and hang on to it. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. And so when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed, and the Lord said, "Strike these people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness. The army became blind. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Woo. Lord, I pray this morning that you will open the spiritual eyes of your people, that they can see beyond, Lord God, beyond what's on TV, what's in the news, what's the circumstances of their life, that they can see what God has for them, what God has. Therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of Syrian arms. Go and see. And when they went after them for Jordan, indeed all were full of garments which the Syrians had thrown away. Whew. I'm telling you, they began to lay down. The army began to lay down and run from them. Oh, open our spiritual eyes this morning, Lord, that we can see.
There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. lift my voice. I stomp my feet and dance around. I raise my arms and wave them all over. I won't be silent. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And he answered, you shall not kill them. Whoa! When you see with spiritual eyes, God shows you a whole different way to approach things. You shall not kill them. He says, would you kill those who you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them. Move in the opposite spirit. When your eyes are open to the reality of God in Christ, when you're a follower of Jesus, you move in the opposite spirit of what the world's moving in. set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great feast for them. Whew. Wow. What a tactic, huh? What a tactic he's calling us to. He prepared a great feast, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more to the land of Israel. Now, in some small way, what you've learned this morning, what we've prayed this morning, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened this hour. In some way, can you follow this example with those that you are so critical about, those that you hate, those that don't think like you think, those that you feel are attacking you, that you're under siege. In some small way, just some small way, can you bring them water? Can you bring them something to drink? Can you give them food for thought in a way that so unlike they've ever heard before, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they could see Jesus like they've never seen Jesus before? That's the hour we live in, folks, when with God all things are possible to those that believe. Lord, we're believing this morning big things. We're believing that the eyes of our understanding and the revelation of Jesus Christ will grow bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in this hour, and throughout the whole year as we prepare and fight our battles. In the Spirit, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.